Larry Richard, along with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I'm looking into the KDK archives here, Paul, that go way back, right? And I'm looking for a pizza song. I have no idea who made this song, but here it is. This better be good.
What is this? What is this?
What is this? It's a Calypso pizza song. Oh. This is so completely out of the box.
All right, let me try another one.
Okay.
All right, that's a touch better. Meanwhile,
I mean, you could have gone with That's Amore, right?
Yes. Dean Martin, why did I think of that?
Yeah. That's what I think of.
Well, the Post-Gazette's Hal B. Klein wrote about this move for mobile pizza operations around the region, and he picked five of them, and one of them is Emilio Venziano, who joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Buongiorno, Emilio.
Buongiorno, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Where's your family from?
My family's originally from Calabria. They're from a small town in the south of Italy.
And how long have you been in Pittsburgh?
I was born, actually, in the U.S. My entire family, however, was not. So I'm the first, Italian-American generation in my family, along with my wife as well.
And we were just talking about the love of pizza in this town is remarkable. I think per capita we have more pizza shops than anywhere in the country. And now you've part of this growing a mobile pizza operation. So how did you get started?
It's actually a funny story because I actually currently still have a corporate IT consulting job. And I've been doing this entire line of work ever since I graduated college. However, when COVID drastically changed the world, right, along with the landscape of my job, my wife's nursing job at the time, we joked for years about selling our pizza because I grew up in the industry, right? My dad had a pizza shop. My wife's dad had a pizza shop, uncles, aunts. I was babysitting pizza shops growing up. My dad builds brick ovens. So, long story short, I've been surrounded by pizza sauce my entire life. So we joked always for years, hey, let's sell our pizza. Well, one day we decided let's actually give it a shot. And we took the plunge and put a deposit down on a custom built wood fire pizza trailer all the way from Denver. And we haven't turned back since. I mean, this is our third season. And I'm sure you guys probably saw from the different articles and things that are out there that we actually are opening up our brick and mortar here soon in Cranberry Township, hopefully by the end of this year.
Oh, boy.
We're excited for all that.
Well, now I happen to live in Adams Township, so I'm curious to know where is this new location going to be?
Okay, perfect. So do you know where the Shop and Save is on Freedom Road in Cranberry Township?
Oh, yeah.
It's literally a mile down the road off of Freedom. It is in the same parking lot as the BP gas station at the intersection of Powell and Freedom.
Slam dunk location. Good one.
Thank you. We're hoping so. That's what we're aiming for. So, and a lot of the people we've been speaking to lately since we've announced, people are coming saying, we live right down the street. We're super excited. The area needs pizza because really isn't much pizza on this end of Cranberry. So we're excited to be able to offer, our product to our friends and neighbors and community.
All right, Emilio, tell us about your pizza. What makes your pizza so special? You say it's wood-fired. I like that.
Correct. Yeah, it's wood-fired. And going off of our roots, right, we try to do everything, as traditional as possible, but then also incorporating modern twist, right? Our dough is made in-house from scratch. My recipes that I've, took me months and years to perfect to the way that we are using it today. We try to import as many of our ingredients as we possibly can. We make everything fresh. Actually, we don't really use freezers at all. The space that we took over had several freezers, and I sold them all. I kept one tiny one, just in case we needed for something here and there. But we just have a ginormous refrigerator that kind of keeps everything fresh for us. And it's, I think, the love and the passion that we put into it, right? There are so many good pizza places in Pittsburgh. So we're not, you know, the only one doing this, the only one that has passion. But I think that's one of the things that sets us apart from some of the competition, right, is that we truly enjoy our thing. I kind of get a little bit geeky when people ask me about dough techniques and, you know, where do we get our tomatoes from and all these type of things. So I think that kind of helps set us apart from some of the other places.
And let's talk about temperature for a moment. Wood-fired pizzas are cooked at a much higher temperature than you can, for example, at home if you try to do it yourself or in some restaurants. What's the difference between a wood-fired temperature and some others?
That's a great question. So your standard, like, New York-style, Pittsburgh-style pizza, they're usually cooking between 550 and 650 degrees on the oven floor, ambient temp. For a wood-fired pizza, at least for us, we cook between 800 and 850 degrees on the floor. So if I take the temperature of the oven floor, we usually want to strive to be 8 to 850. So that gives us a much quicker cook time, usually 60 to 90 seconds, depending on how full the oven is. And that produces a lighter, airier, chewier crust versus, you know, the slower bakes that you get from, like, New York style and things like that. One of the major characteristics of a Neapolitan style pizza, wood-fired pizza, is actually that signature flop. Right, like a New York style pizza, you've got the really, really hard under crispy undercarriage, which people love. But then a Neapolitan style is a little bit different than that, where you kind of, it's not an official Neapolitan style pizza, they say, and according to the rules, if it doesn't have a slight flop. So those are kind of the differences in how the oven temperature affects the outcome.
All right, so when is your shop opening?
We are targeting by end of this year, if not sooner. Right now, we're currently undergoing renovations, remodeling, working on staffing, getting a team together for, because we're going to continue operating the mobile pizza truck as well as the brick and mortar. So once we get all the renovations done, proper equipment and staffing, we will open. So the target is end of this year, but hopefully sooner.
Well, for those of us who don't want to wait for the opening, where's the trailer going to be these coming few days?
So over the next couple of days, we're actually going to be an apartment complex in Ross Township called Bear Run Village. And then this Saturday, we will be at Freedom Farms Wildflower Festival, actually. So those are the two current public options for this week. But for anyone interested, though, we post our weekly schedule on our Instagram and our Facebook pages. And we always pin those posts to the top of the pages on both platforms. And you can also see our monthly schedule on our website under our schedule tab. So there's multiple ways to find us as well.
And what do we look for? What would the name, please?
Oh, Vitalia Wood-Fired Oven. We are a 22-foot huge blue trailer. You literally can't miss us.
V-I-T-A-L-I-A, Vitalia Wood-Fired Oven. Emilio Benziano, good luck to you, man. Thank you. This is exciting.
The best.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate the time. Have a good rest of your day.
I know Paul will be. There are many ways to reach out. NASCO Roofing Instant Access to our shows is a click away. Email us at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. And make sure you download that free Audacy app, AUDACY. Go to our website. It's a great resource. And we're looking for hometown heroes again this year for our October gathering, where we celebrate five local hometown heroes. And we'll be making some announcements about some honorees that I think you'll really appreciate. And you can go to kdkradio.com, nominate someone in the community who's done something extraordinary in the past years without looking for anything for themselves. Joining us every Tuesday at this time, we have Lynn Hayes Freeland. And I assume you're in Atlanta, Georgia.
I am in Atlanta, Georgia, Larry. I am doing what my son likes to call affectionately running grandma's summer camp.
I know what that is.
Yeah, running, you know, it's that time when summer camp is already done and school hasn't started yet.
Well, in the South, Lynn, they start school earlier than typically they have in the North. Although I know, talking to Christine, Marty's wife, last week, mm-hmm. she said Mount Lebanon's back like mid-August.
Oh, that is early. But yeah, down here we start August 4th.
Oh, wow. That's 2 weeks away.
Exactly. Exactly. But now they get out a lot earlier. They probably get out in May, usually around the 22nd, 23rd of May.
Okay.
And, so that's what balances
out. Part of the I guess the inspiration for that is just it's so hot and humid in the South, they figure, well, might as well get the kids in school where it's air conditioned. But back-
yeah, I guess, although it was always explained to me the other way around, that they let them out early because it gets so hot. But, you know, that first couple weeks of August, I think we're at a point now where we've had, I think it's 20 days or something like that, over 90, with those feels like temperatures in the 100s. So I'm not sure that it makes sense. But I guess one of the differences is, too, I think the majority of schools down here are air conditioned. Unlike, I know a lot of the Pittsburgh buildings are a lot older. They don't have air conditioning. And if you get into that feels like 100 degrees, it's going to be very unbearable for the kids.
All right. So what's on your radar, Lynn?
Well, you know what, Larry? The biggest story down here is the one that you guys have been talking about all morning, and that is Malcolm Jamal Warner. And it turns out he lived here in Atlanta. So I have run into him several times. I saw him initially at a couple of plays, live performances. And I remember saying to my friends, isn't that Theo? And they would look at me like, oh, you always think you know somebody. I'm like, no, I think that's Theo from the Huxtables. And then, you know, midway through the play, intermission, they'd call him up to say hello. And they're like, oh, you were right. And then it turns out he does this spoken word thing, which I guess he won a Grammy for, I believe.
Yes.
So we, my friends and I, went to a local club where he performs to see him probably about 2 months ago. About 2 months ago.
I understand that with that Cosby Show's popularity, we talked about it earlier with Tamara Rush and Paul, 5 straight years as the number one show on television. So a lot of people grew up with Theo.
They did. And you know what? Interestingly, I read a review written by a local author, Brian Broom. I don't know if you're familiar with Brian or not. But he talked about how, as a young African-American male, he was so influenced by the character of Theo, not so much because of the similarities, because Brian said he grew up poor and the Huxtables were affluent. But he talked about the fact that Theo kind of, I'll use this expression, colored outside the lines for the most part, that was why so many people connected with him, because he was that young man that was a little bit mischievous, didn't always follow the rules, wanted to be a regular guy, didn't necessarily want to follow his parents' footsteps. And Brian was saying in the piece that he wrote yesterday that became the point in which so many people connected with him. And after I read that, to myself, I thought he was right. I mean, even as a female, I probably connected to Theo more than I did the daughters.
Yeah, and it was interesting because there's been an outpouring of love for Malcolm. I keep wanting to say Theo, too.
Yeah.
even Bill Cosby, who talked to Felicia Rashad, who obviously, you know, played his wife on the show. Reached out about how devastated they were.
Yeah, I also heard an interview. I guess Cosby didn't do a lot of interviews for obvious reasons. But I did hear an interview that he did with an old family friend. And one of the things he said was that getting the news about Malcolm's death was like getting the news about his son when his son died. That's how close of a relationship he felt with him.
We're with Lynn Hayes Breland, and more to come. Lynn, you sounds like you've got your hands full. Graham.
We have fun. It's this little one in the high chair.
Oh, yeah. How old?
11 months.
Oh, wow. And name?
His name is Antoine Jr. We call him AJ.
All right. AJ's like, hey, you're not paying enough attention to me.
He is.
Over here. All right. We'll get right back to you. Larry Richard, and also an 11-month-old. I love that. People.
Oh, he's having a good time. He's trying to figure out why he's not getting my undivided attention.
What do your grandchildren call you?
You know what? Very traditional, grandma.
Oh, wow. That's unusual these days.
You know what? I had all kinds of cute names picked out, and I was excited when the first grandchild came, and my son said, Ma, grandma was grandma to us, and you're going to be grandma to our kids. Like, okay, that's fair. So, and I, you know what? It is a name that I don't know what yours call you. Who are you?
Pap.
Pap. Okay. So that's
cool with that.
Kind of traditional. Yeah, that's kind of traditional. Yeah, sometimes I think that, you know, I had all kinds of names, you know, Lala, Lolly, all kinds of names. G-Maw, you know, I had a whole list of options, but Grandma won out. So, you know, and I want to circle back to the Huxtable show for just a second, Larry.
Okay.
Only because one of the things that strikes me about that show is it probably was one of the last television shows that came on consistently on the same night of the week, every week, and we watched it, whether as individuals or families, because somehow or another, you know, now we've shifted and we stream and we binge watch an entire series. So it has, that's an altogether different feeling than waiting and looking forward to the next episode next week.
Yeah, the... What the heck's going on there, Lynn?
Oh, yeah, that's the rattle hitting the floor. You know that drill. Let's see how many times Grandma will pick it up.
You'll pick it up as many times as...
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, that show, though, and it's unfortunate the way with Bill Cosby's issues, it kind of canceled that show for a while in reruns, and it really hurt the entire cast because... they were the beneficiaries of that great program in reruns, and now
they get those residuals.
It's been back in some places, and it's the show still holds up, I think, for a lot of people.
It does, and I mean, I've watched it. Ironically, I happened upon it probably recently, within the last month or so, and I remember thinking it was so well written, so well acted, and it was. Also, so unfortunate that it had that stain. The entire cast was stained because of the actions of one, or the alleged action. Well, no, I guess I can say actions. I don't have to say alleged. And it took away his whole entire career, his whole reputation. And you're right. It became a financial drawback for the other cast members.
All right. What else is on your radar?
The Heat. The Heat, you know, the heat down here is very different. Like I said, I think we're at 20 days of the temperature being over 90. I think today the feels like temperature is supposed to be about 105. And, you know, I like to swim. I love outdoor swimming, but it's too hot to even swim outside. I have to go either early in the morning or late at night because, you know, in the heat of the day, it's too hot to go in the pool.
Yeah, speaking of the pool, Tamira and I talked about, and she had suggested she's going to look into learning how to swim for so many people. Even, you know, it's one thing to teach children how to swim. It's much easier mm-hmm. to do that then. But there are a lot of adults that don't want to, A, admit they don't know how to swim, but could probably benefit from at least knowing the basics just in case.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know from what I understand, Malcolm Jamal Warner was a great swimmer. In fact, he had gone out. He did go alone from what I've read, but he went out for a morning swim, which would indicate to me that he was a strong swimmer. But I actually took a refresher course this past spring. I know how to swim. I learned how to swim. I grew up in an era where we had to take swimming in school. So 7th and 8th grade in Pittsburgh public schools, you learned how to swim. So I've known how to swim for a long time. But I didn't feel confident anymore. And so I took a refresher course just so that I felt confident when I jumped in the water. And also so that my grandkids didn't make me look bad because they know how to swim.
Well, I'm going to let you go swim with Junior.
With Junior, yeah. I think I'm just going to throw him in the pool, see what he can do.
All right, Lynn, we'll talk next week.
All right, have a good one.
Lynn Hayes Freeland on the